Ladies and gentlemen, freaks and geeks, grab your smokes and take some tokes, because it's time for Fatal 4-Way Radio with your host, Internet Radio Zone, Minister of Sinister. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet and by World Generation Podcast Network. And now, Internet Radio Zone, Minister of Sinister.
What's up, what's up? Welcome. It's great of you to join us. Welcome to Fatal 4-Way Radio. I am Internet Radio Zone, Minister of Sinister. I'm sitting here with Rancho Punk Rocker, Inspected, Peacemaker, Kevier West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. And we're here to, hey, break it down for you. We had a week of professional wrestling that's unforgivable by most takes, most accounts. And the phones are lighting up right now. We got 512 on the line. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for, is this Joe B?
Yes, sir.
Joe B. Joining me on the madness once again. So guys, what's going on? Tell me a story. I got COVID right now. I just realized a few hours ago, I was like, shit, man, I was making a pot of soup. And I'm like, shit, man, I can't fucking smell this shit. I cut up a fucking onion and stuff, and I'm like, oh, man, something's really wrong here. I can't even smell the fucking onion. So, but nevertheless, I can't smell. I have no taste either. I just realized today, earlier,
oh, you have
a little while ago.
You have no taste to begin with, man.
Yeah, no taste. There you go. Nailed it. Nailed it, Albert.
Bad COVID joke. Yeah, I know. Wait,
right,
we hope you get better soon, man. So have you gotten your results in yet? Are you
not yet, but I'm going to go get tested again tomorrow. There's a thing going on right now. There's a thing going on right now, man. Fucking, you can go get tested everywhere. At the corner, they got a little spot where you can get tested. But shit, the fucking results, they're not coming for like 3 or 4 days later, they're telling me. I'm like, shit, what happened to, you know, the last time I got tested, well over a year ago, they had results instantly, like fucking, you know, within 2 hours.
Well, maybe because this is the new variant, it'll take a little bit more time to see the results.
I have no idea, but it is what it is. But anyway, guys, no, what's going on with you guys? Anything new?
Heard it could take up to 7 days because this variant isn't as deadly as the other ones, but it's spreading more rapidly, and so everything's just flooded. But if you know you think you straight up have it, maybe look to go to a rapid site instead of, I forget what they call the other one, TC something, whatever.
PRC.
The PRC? Yeah.
Yeah, the PRC ones have to go to a lab, but if you definitely think you have it, see if you can find a rapid testing site.
Words of wisdom there from Mr. Joe B. Dr. Joe B.
It's Dr. Joe B tonight. DMD,
right.
My friend.
DMD.
That's a Britt Baker action going on here.
What's going on over there on your side, Albert? What are you doing there, man? You got something special lined up? You got something cooking up or something?
I got something cooking up. No, I got a lot of shit cooking up, man. Hey, we're live tonight on Facebook, Instagram. We're live on Tinder. We're live on Ancestry.com. We're live on fucking FarmersOnly.com. We're live everywhere you can possibly stream this goddamn show tonight to increase
God
our viewership.
Right.
That way the advertisers are very pleased with what we're doing tonight. But no, we're live tonight, and I want to say hello to a bunch of people in the groups. I have no idea who the fuck's watching because I'm just looking on the studio right now. All I can do is hear audio and see myself, and that's about it. But yeah, so if you're I can see if I can get to the Facebook stream here in a minute without crashing my computer, because right now I'm on my my little crappy laptop in a hotel right now. But let me see if I can get to the live stream right now, and if you got questions or comments, just let us have it, man, and we'll give our stupid take on it. There's five of us tonight, and it's Fatal Five Way, I guess, tonight. But this is episode 301, by the way, guys. We've been doing this shit for a long fucking time, and it's every show gets just better and better. We're like Boone's Farm wine. It just gets better with age.
Well, that's questionable, but.
Yeah.
But I do like your style there, bro. A round of applause for everyone listening.
But you know what? If anybody's got any audio issues on one of the streams, just comment on whatever stream or Facebook, actually, because that's what I'm going to be on right now. And because I was struggling with the audio a little bit earlier, but I think we should be okay now. So if you have problems here, if you really, really want to hear the show, go to blogtalkradio.com/worldgeneration and we'll be on there fully.
And you can also call in 619-940-815, the call-in number there. So, yeah, 619-924-0815. Gentlemen, what a week of wrestling we had, huh? I got the fucking COVID. I got the fucking COVID. It means nothing to me right now. I could give a fuck. But I digress. We did have a week of wrestling, and we're going to catch up with all that madness. Now we'll start out with the fucking birthdays. We got one birthday. Should we do the song for one birthday?
Let's do it.
Yeah, we should at least do it. So, Christian, sing us in.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. We don't really care so much, but we'll say it anyway. Happy birthday to you, you old schmuck.
The nice version, actually. The Swami. So all that right there for Abdullah the Butcher. We have one birthday today, and it's Abdullah the Butcher. Swami, what are your thoughts on Abdullah the Butcher? Happy birthday. 81.
I respectfully don't like this man because of one reason and one reason only. The fact that he knew, and I don't think that people in the internet land who are hearing this right now may know this, or they may also know this, who knows, that this guy had a sickness, a disease, and he bled. You know, he bled a lot in his career. He was a bleeder.
Known as a bleeder.
Yeah, and just like Cowboy Bob Orton, he could have transmitted this disease to multiple wrestlers in the day from bleeding. So I respectfully and kindly don't like this man, and I don't appreciate his type of wrestling because I don't like his type of wrestling, all right? What he does is not wrestling. It's just cutting himself open. That is not wrestling. That's not my type of wrestling.
You're starting to sound like you're starting to sound like Jim Cornette, man. Like I think as the weeks progress, you start sounding more and more like Jim Cornette.
Oh my god,
this guy's an outlaw. So I don't know. Abdullah the Butcher, I really, I've had conversations with this guy over the phone. Do you guys believe it or not? I had many conversations with Larry Shreve, and as everybody else knows him as Abdullah the Butcher, believe it or not, some years ago. We were going to get into the T-shirt business together. You guys believe this shit?
Somehow I do.
me and Abdullah the Butcher. And, of course, this is before I found out about the whole hepatitis C thing that he was he gave. Who did he give? Christian, do you know who gave hepatitis C to?
Anybody.
It was Hannibal. There was other wrestlers, but Hannibal.
Oh, Hannibal is one of those guys, right? And here Hannibal is, and we'll get into that, I guess, a little bit later, too. But here, Bloodhunter is, you know, performing all these fucking shitty-ass, you know, things on people in the ring. It's like, actually, no one gets it. He's got the sickness, too. But no, me and Abdul the Butcher, some years ago, we're going to do some T-shirts, and we're going to sell some T-shirts at his Chinese restaurants. And I have some designs for him done up, and, you know, the deal just kind of fell through. But happy birthday, I guess, Abdullah. He's actually a very nice guy. I mean, he's made some mistakes, and my people might give him a lot of shit. And you know what he did was – I can't advocate for it. I haven't seen the video. I don't know if it was an accident or not. I don't know if he knew he had hepatitis or not. I'm not going to say it, but I guess happy birthday. I don't know. That's all I got to say.
I'll just kind of watch this guy. Yeah,
I'll echo what both guys say. I'll echo their thoughts, but also say man, I've watched Abdullah the Butcher matches before, and I mean, it's just a different, it was back then, and he's a deathmatch wrestler kind of, and he's also just a big man that doesn't have to do much. So it's boring as fuck. I think that he's one of the most boring fucking wrestlers, honestly.
He was better than Kamala.
But I think it's is the hepatitis C trial thing. I've seen multiple things about that where I'm looking at his wiki and it says he got sued for $2.3 million for that. Found guilty of knowingly contracting hepatitis C.
Shitty.
I believe the guy, one of the guys said that he was about to get signed by WWE, and that deal fell through because of him contracting hepatitis.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all I know about that. But
it's a shitty disease. I mean, it sucks that you have this disease, but dude, take the if you knowingly are spreading some shit like that, that's the problem. So yeah, I mean, of course, but
and that's why I respectfully don't.
I don't know if we touched on this guy yesterday, but just to add to the bummer birthdays, yesterday was Brian Christopher's birthday, and I saw Scotty Too Hotty made a really cool post. Scotty Too Hotty's kind of making a comeback right now, but yeah, Brian Christopher is a fucking sad wrestling story too. So I'm kind of going to shout out happy birthday to
him. Wait a minute, was that Grandmaster Sexay?
Uh huh.
Grandmaster Sexay, yeah.
They said that
Buck Bagwell
was bested for
he had a birthday yesterday too.
We're talking
we're not doing the whole week. We're not doing the whole week, Minister.
We agreed that we would just do the one day. But you know, he brought up Scotty Tuhati, and I was asking if that was Grandmaster Sexay, and then I just so happened to see that Buck Bagwell had a birthday yesterday as well.
Really?
So in characters, Bagwell and Grandmaster Sexay. But Abdullah the Butcher, man, I used to watch that guy, and I always knew there was going to be blood, and he was going to be on the card. There was going to be blood because he was going to bust out the fork, you know, and he was going to fork his opponent and get forked himself, and it was going to be bloody. But that's about it. Other than that, you know, he never really was anything special other than the blood.
No.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
If he ever did went to the WWF, I think instead of Rikishi being the Sultan, he would have been the Sultan, you know? The Sultan gimmick.
Yeah.
The Sultan. You're talking about the guy who wrestled The Rock with the mask?
Yeah.
Wasn't that just absolutely terrible?
Yeah, that Abdullah the Butcher, he never did wrestle in WWE, not that I know of, and yet, you know, of course he's in the Hall of Fame.
No.
Of course he's in the Hall of Fame.
I think he wrestled Hogan, and I think he wrestled some house shows. I could be wrong.
Really?
He didn't, he was an All Japan champion, Georgia championship, Midwest,
right.
NWA, but never a WWE champion, but he is a WWE Hall of Famer.
But it's one of those things, you know, where they own the footage to all those other wrestlings that he was in. So, you know, therefore he qualifies. Because it's all a fucking big fucking sham anyway. But I digress. So moving on. I think, shit. Do I sound sick, man? Do I sound different?
You ever seen that episode trying to get me down, man?
But it's not going to get me, man. It's not going to fucking get me. But I think I'll write my will out tonight anyway, just in case. it's fucking time to get retro. Yeah, a little retro. Fucking retro. Fucking shit. All right, enough of that shit. Let's see here. It was 31 years ago today. That's a long fucking time. But it was Ric Flair defeated Sting to win the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. Of course, that was the big gold at the time. The win, of course, made Flair the first ever WCW World Heavyweight Champion. Now, WWE did not recognize his first WCW World title run as one of his world titles. That run is recognized as an NWA world title run that extended to the birth of the WCW world title.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was that. But this one was interesting. 29 years ago, guys, fucking WWF presented the first episode of Monday Night Raw from Manhattan Center in New York City.
Yeah.
I remember this shit like it was yesterday, smoking a joint with my roommates. We shared a house and watching Monday Night Raw, man. Anybody else remember this shit?
No.
Watching it live or?
You know, I was still on WCW at the time because, you know why.
I do. Same here. Same here, but I remember watching it, and I was not impressed with it at all. It was like a fucking glorified house show.
That's because, it just started.
Yeah.
It was just the first episode. It wasn't that good. Even back then, everybody, I wasn't expecting the first episode to be good. It was a one-hour show. This was the only time Raw was 1 hour at the beginning of it. The major story of the whole show was Bobby Heenan trying to break into the show. That was the whole story in the entire show.
Oh, yeah.
So that was the whole plot. And
it was the
first main event. Yeah?
Yeah, it was a conspiracy against Heenan to keep him out.
Yeah. And it was the first time Undertaker main evented on Raw. So another point of his resume was that he was the first wrestler to main event Raw. Undertaker faced somebody, I don't remember his name.
Damian Demento.
What was the guy he faced? Yeah, okay, there
Who?
You go. Damian Demento.
Oh, Damian Demento. Right.
Believe me, man, fucking even Undertaker was even Undertaker looked like a fucking slouch, dude. He looked, you can respect the Undertaker now and shit for all the shit he's gone through and his character changes, the way he suddenly transpired himself into what he is today. But holy shit, back then he looked like a fucking clown, man.
Razor Ramon was on the show.
There was nothing scary about him. He looked like fucking just like some guy made up with a heavy white makeup and shit on his face, wearing clothes that was way too tight.
Big purple. I can share this clip to us. I'll share it to our chat so y'all can see it. But there's like a thing where like Vince was sitting around with Heenan and Hillbilly Jim and who else was Sergeant Slaughter, and he's like announcing, he's like telling everybody that the show's changing from Superstars to Raw, and it's pretty fucking funny. It's like a fun clip. I just seen it last week actually because this was coming up. Somebody shared it, and so it's like all super cartoony. And I'm like, I'm curious because I didn't see the debut of Raw. Like when Raw started, was it still like fucking cartoony? Like even though they said they were changing it and it wasn't going to be, was it still cartoony for a while?
Yeah,
I mean,
it was
to
real
me,
cartoony.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Now, here's an interesting thing, and I would love if anybody in the chat who's ever watching this live could tell me if they remembered this third announcer that was on Raw, right? Because there was Vince McMahon and there was Randy Savage. Those were the two main commentators for Raw at the time, right? But there was this third announcer in the commentary. It wasn't Bobby Heenan or it wasn't Gorilla Monsoon. They hired a stand-up comedian to be a third announcer for Raw for, like, multiple weeks. And I'm not saying this as a bad thing, you know, like, if he did stand-up comedian, then respect to him, but I'm sorry, he was terrible. Like,
who was it?
This was, I
but
don't remember his name.
Rob
What's
Barlett was the first commentary replacing Bobby Heenan. He does celebrity characters, so he's like a fucking impersonator.
Yes, that's his name.
Yeah,
wait, who?
He's like, his name was Rob Barlett. He's not like really known for, he's not really known for anything. He did like, he was an impressionist, like impressionist people back then.
It was, I'm sorry to say this, it was awful. The guy was horrible.
Yeah. I don't even remember it.
This episode was the first episode. This was during the time when Mike Tyson was doing trial, and he was impersonating the Mike Tyson trials.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, they were taking cheap shots at all kinds of culture, shit that was going on, you know, and this was one of the ways that they were going to get themselves over as a show. And I mean, I guess it did. It worked in a way because they became the iconic show that they were. And then they just fucked like they're where they're at now. I mean, we have fucking Johnny fucking Knoxville now. But I digress.
Yeah.
I'm jumping ahead. Continue, Christian.
No, like, the guy was uncomfortable. Like, it was terrible for, like, a few weeks. He only lasted for, like, 6 weeks, and then he got fired. So that was the first commentary from Monday Night Raw. Imagine that, right?
Yeah.
Imagine you're sitting next to your boss. Wouldn't that be uncomfortable? Imagine Macho Man in his shoes right now. He's sitting next to his boss. And he's trying to do commentary while his boss is questioning him and correcting him every time. That would be uncomfortable.
Huh.
Right. I agree.
Well, what does Joe B. think about this?
I'm over here just always getting history lessons from y'all. I'm looking up everything. Now, like,
wow.
the one thing that I learned through all of this, and I forgot that Heenan was the brain, and I saw those, like, horrific last photos of him, so R.I.P. Heenan, I feel he's probably no longer with us anymore. I didn't look at the dates, but.
Yeah.
So I was looking up the first episode of the Raw. So it's got to be Rob Bartlett was the comedian guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, it says the premiere episode. I guess y'all maybe said that. Yeah, and then exactly like you said, it's Undertaker with Damian Demento. Y'all got some great memories. Y'all are obviously diehard wrestling fans.
They're going off of memory. I'm just being like really fast with Wikipedia right now.
Yeah. And of course,
I'm
you know, I the table, so, you know, I have that material in front of me. Really, the only one that would have a memory could be Christian. I think he has his shit together with his memory. But, yeah, I have a little script right here in front of me that tells me all that shit. I also see that, you know, Shawn Michaels defeated Max Moon.
Yeah.
To retain the WWF Intercontinental Championship. Max
A different Max Moon, by the way. Because it wasn't the same Max Moon.
Yeah,
What's cool is my tablet is so trained. Like, you know, they say the internet's always watching. Now, like, I just barely even start to type in a wrestler's name. And because all I've been doing is looking at wrestling on this tablet because I use my phone mainly, it comes up so fast, you know? Like, I don't even have to get on Wikipedia. Just, like, I get instant results.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Technology.
They put it in our brain.
We lost the live feed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's okay. It was lagging the
fucking
internet. Yeah, no. But you know what? It was lagging out, and then we lost. But you know, I don't know what the hell it was, but I'm gonna work on it. We're gonna get this better. We're gonna get this together, everybody.
Yeah,
so.
You
gotta get our viewers. We're gonna get the viewers back. Anyway, what else is missing in history?
Should we do another one of these, or should we move on?
Just one more, and then we can move on. One more.
Just one more. All right, let me find another one here. 17 years ago. Now. All right, 13 years ago, TNA presented Genesis from the Bojangles Coliseum in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah.
We had Eric Young on the card and Latin American Exchange, which was Hernandez and Homicide, defeated Jimmy Rave and Kiyoshi and Sunday Dutt, right? But let's get to the beef of things, all right? Because we had Kirk Angel defeated Jeff Jarrett in an ODQ match. Yeah. So this was obviously at a time that was very sensitive between these two, I would imagine.
This wasn't it yet.
Ah, so it was on its way.
I think this was during the time the Main Event Mafia was around, so this isn't it yet.
Let's see what else happened. Kirk Angel defeated Jeff Jarrett in an ODQ. Sting defeated Rhino.
To retain the
TNA World Heavyweight Championship, yes?
Actually, we have to change his name to Perk Angel because he was taking a lot of perks back then, yeah?
Perk Angel. Perk Angel, okay. Yeah,
a backflip.
This was during the times where he was taking a lot of pain medicine or, you know, medicines. He was addicted to.
Oh, yeah, man. Percocets and shit. Alex Shelley defeated Chris Sabin to become the TNA X Division champion. I seem to remember watching this. It may not have been the pay-per-view at the time, or I may have watched it on that programming, the Watch Wrestling. I think it seemed to remember it was new at the time. But anyway, I seem to have watched this not too long ago on the Pluto channel where they have the TNA shit.
Right.
And, I seem this is fresh in my mind here. The front line, AJ Styles.
Yep.
With brother D-Von and Mick Foley defeated Cute Kip and the Main Event Mafia.
Booker
T and Scott Steiner. So, Christian, your thoughts. Booker T and Scott Steiner, the Main Event Mafia.
Okay, but who was the third person?
Kip, probably the gun. right? And his name Kip.
Okay, but I don't understand. Yeah, but he wasn't with the Main Event Mafia. Like, I don't. He wasn't a member of the Main Event Mafia, but because he was so old, he was just guilty by association, I guess.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Cute Kip.
Yeah.
That's who I would get.
This pay-per-view, this was during the time where the Main Event Mafia, you know, wanted to take out the younger talent because they thought they were just the major stars. And in another way, they were right. But this was also the beginning of the segue to Mick Foley's one and only world title reign in TNA, which was unfortunately considered the worst TNA world title reign in history.
Oh, shit. Beer Money, James Storm, and Robert Roode were off on the card defeating Lethal Consequences, which, of course, is Consequences Creed and Jay Lethal.
Yeah. A.K.A. Xavier Woods. Yeah.
And Jay Lethal.
That was probably sick. That match sounds pretty sick.
Yeah.
And they didn't just defeat, you know, that team, but they also defeated Abyss and Matt Morgan. It was a triple threat. Three team match to win the TNA World Tag Team Championship. So, yeah.
Well, that all happened
13 years ago, yes.
Well, Abyss and Matt Morgan weren't going to win because Matt Morgan always turns on his tag team partner. He turned on Hernandez. He turned on Crimson. So he has a reputation of turning on his partner. So there was no way they were going to win.
Hey, real quick, because I didn't watch TNA, what was the gimmick with the X Division? Was it just a cruiserweight division, or did they have to, like, wrestle in a cage every time or some shit, I think? Was it something like that?
No.
The X Division was just the cruiserweight division, but for the cruiserweight title. They sometimes fight for the Ultimate X, where they have to climb on the X ropes and dangling on the and all that.
The thing with the X Division was the fact that there was no weight limits, but most of the guys were cruiserweights. So I mean, I think like Samoa Joe was like a fucking X Division champion at one point in time, but you had no weight limits. It was just, you know, whatever. It was it was a definite innovative concept. And there was an Ultimate X match at Hard to Kill between the girls, and I thought that was I saw bits and pieces. I thought that was a pretty good match.
Well, for some reason, right? Like
at little clips I've seen of it before.
Well, for some reason, right? Like every angle with the X Division in every show, they want to bury the X Division. Like this isn't like every storyline, every heel always wanted to bury the X Division. If it wasn't Immortal, it was like Aces and Eights or anybody else. Like, they continued to bury the X Division. Like, they kept saying that it was the minor leagues. And I don't get that, because how are you supposed to put over the cruiserweight if you keep saying that it's trash on TV every week?
They never really did put them over, not at any time. Like, even when they had this fucking, what was it here recently, the 205 Live or... Yeah, was it 205?
Yeah.
Because they weighed under 205 pounds, whatever the hell. None of that shit ever fit in. It never caught on. But they had some great fucking matches. Whoever the headliners were, you know, like Pac had a few pre-show matches. I remember watching those pre-show matches. They
were
fucking marching out over those matches.
Yeah, Adrian Neville and Austin Aries of the pre-show at WrestleMania is like one of my favorite wrestling matches, and it was a fucking pre-show match that got cut from the DVD.
Well, you know why nobody probably liked 205 Live? There's one problem with it. There was no major storylines in 205 Live that got people excited to watch it. Like, don't get me wrong,
true.
The matches were good. don't get me wrong, the matches are good, but what's the motivation for me to watch this? Like, who's the face and who's the heel? Why are they fighting against each other? What's the reason to care about this match?
What's up with the Kurt Angle, Jeff Jarrett going on for 22 minutes? Why was that so hot?
Well, because of the Main Event Mafia.
Yeah.
Well, I was looking at all the because what I'm looking at tells the lengths of the bout, and like they went at it for 22 minutes. That was the longest match.
Well, because Jeff Jarrett was the babyface in this.
Jeff Jarrett and Kurt Angle, right? Like he thinks he's like some sort of like wrestling fucking god. So like I'm pretty sure he's like back because he was one of the producers and actually the founder.
Yeah, he was one of the bookers and shit.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure he's
up all
that
time.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like he was like backstage and he like gave himself the most time, him and Kurt Angle the most time of any match because he thinks he's like, I don't know. I like Jeff Jarrett. I think that was all his doing there. Like, he probably gave himself like the longest fucking match, just to fucking
like
prove that he can like go with Kurt Angle. What's that?
He looked like a fucking Ric Flair biter to me, like in his youth.
Because that's during the time,
I
liked his Oakleys when I was a kid. I remember liking that he had a guitar, and I liked his sunglasses. And that was like when I was a kid watching wrestling, that was about as far as my mind could go with Jeff Jarrett. But I never hated the guy, and I was always like, oh, he's got cool shades. I'd pick his sunglasses on the wrestling games all the time when I was a kid.
Yeah.
He's just boring.
I couldn't stand Jeff Jarrett.
He's not a bad wrestler, but the thing is, like, he always thought way too highly of himself, you know, and he always thought, like, he was in, like, the league of, like, Bret Hart's and, like, Hulk Hogan's and shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he almost got there for a time, but he just...
Because he was doing all the fucking booking and shit.
He's not a bad wrestler, but the problem with that too is he's just so boring. He's boring. Like his promos are all the same every time he comes on TV and TNA. Like, I'm the founder of TNA, you know, and the King of the Mountain. It's just boring.
I'll tell you what, I used to love it when he would fucking crack a guitar over someone's head. I would mark out for that shit. I don't know why, but I would.
But unfortunately for that, that even got boring to me, too.
Yeah.
Because he kept doing it.
Yeah, he was fucking boring, Jeff. And I hated when he wore that stupid white outfit that had like a collar and a bunch of fucking strips hanging down from the collar to his fucking waist. He looked like a fucking clown, man. A fucking clown.
Yeah.
That's the exact picture I was looking at that reminded me of, like, he's kind of like a homoerotic Ric Flair in that photo.
As if
Ric Flair wasn't homoerotic enough, like, holy shit, here comes another worst fighter. It looks like one of those things where you go to the sex shop and you go to like the wall of like fucking outfits to buy for your like your woman or whatever, because you know whatever. But and then like one of them would be like the Jeff Jarrett outfit like in the corner.
Oh man,
it's just a picture of Jeff Jarrett in the fucking. On the box.
Hey,
I used to live by the 99 cent store in Austin right before I moved. It was by Hoover's Home Cooking. And they would sell like the hot pants for women. Like basically the prostitutes would shop there. It's kind of like, you know, all that gear, it wears out. in the duration of the evening, but they sell like all these like kind of like risque halter tops and you know,
that
like not yoga pants, they're tidings. But I'm like, is that where he was shopping for this gear? You know, like.
Yeah. Hey, I'd be fine. I'd be fine with my girl wearing a Jeff Jarrett outfit as long as she doesn't slap nut.
All right.
I wouldn't want to.
You'll want to slap nut.
With a
good.
He had like that blonde, like luscious hair too, right? Like it was like at that same time he had like that fucking Goldilocks, like pull my hair from behind type Jeff Jarrett haircut.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. That was beginning of that was towards the end of the 90s, and then cut his hair.
That was like some that was some fucking L'Oreal shit right there. That was some fucking.
It's a very unique wrestling attire. I'll say that. I can't think of many other motherfuckers that wore some shit like this. Brutus Beefcake maybe kind of comes to mind wearing some shit like this. Didn't he have some kind of straps? I don't know. I'm trying to think of other guys who have worn. Shawn Michaels wore something kind of like that.
Shawn Michaels wore something similar.
I think in his mind, he wanted to be the next Hulk Hogan. I mean, he started to look like him with the long hair, the mustache, the glasses.
You're talking about Jarrett?
Yeah.
You're talking about Jeff Jarrett? Yeah. Well, okay. Look, yeah, I see where you're coming from. In his mind, he wasn't the Hulk Hogan. But Kevin brought up an interesting point there. Shawn Michaels... Speaking of homoerotic fucking wrestlers, Shawn Michaels was fucking that outfit with the fucking dangly chains and the fucking biker fucking hat that he was wearing for a while.
Yeah.
He looked like the fucking, he looked like the village people, bro.
Was it Shawn Michaels who used to wear like those really, really low cut like tank tops where like the straps and the shoulders are like almost like as thin as like a woman's bra straps and it cuts way down on the chest?
Yeah.
And he has like has that kind of like this kind of like greasy Jerry curl look going on.
Yeah, he literally looked like he was about to go pop out of a fucking cake at a bachelorette party.
Yeah,
literally looked
funny
like
story.
That.
That's the funny story because you guys know like I really don't care for Shawn Michaels, but like the funniest fucking story was when the 90s when he posed for Playgirl magazine naked, right? And, like, he was, like, talking so much shit about it, like, backstage. Like, he was like, I get to pose for Playgirl. Like, all these chicks get to check out my fucking dong and shit.
Yeah.
And I forgot who it was that, like, came up to him and was like, you know, like, almost 100% of the people who buy fucking Playgirl are dudes, right?
This is like Brett. Hey, Sean, you know... the people, this is my Bret Hart impression, most of the people who buy the, I can't do a Sean, never mind. Or a Bret, never mind.
Bret, you know what? Sean, let me tell you something. Most of the people that buy that magazine that you're in, the Playgirl magazine, most of them are dudes.
Yeah, you would say that. Yeah, I see why you would say that, yeah. That's not what Sonny said. So that's going to cut it for the retro segment. Mm. And I wanted to talk about some news, but I forgot what news it was. Christian, can you remind me?
I'll help you there. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Top news tonight, ladies and gentlemen. You probably heard it. You probably seen it online. And for the listeners and the live feed, hopefully we got that up back. Do we? Do we have confirmation?
No.
Do we have that back up?
No. Not at all.
All right. But if anybody's still watching in the chat, you know, you probably heard this by now. Last week, WWE did mass releases of certain wrestlers. At this point, ladies and gentlemen, this is a personal attack to Paul Levesque, a.k.a. Triple H. This is a personal attack at this point. As the people that got fired, were very close personnel, very close people of AAA. Yep, the music says it all right there. It's actually, you know, yeah. It's actually, you know, a record, you know. This is historic, ladies and gentlemen, because this one man, Samoa Joe, got fired, then rehired, and then got fired again. So in a span of, like, I don't know, a few months, how would that be, like, 3 months now? Can we say the time limit
right.
was, time frame was, like, 3 months? In a span of 3 months, this man was fired, then rehired, and then fired again. That's astonishing, isn't it? That is astonishing. But no, he wasn't the only one that got fired, you know. The most brilliant mind in professional wrestling, everybody, the most genius when it comes to professional wrestling, and
they
a great man.
They fired you, Christian? They fired you?
No. No, but he comes close. William Regal, a man who knows wrestling, a genius when it comes to wrestling, gets fired by this company, unfortunately. And then other people got fired. I don't know who the other guy was. Somebody else.
Not only that, man.
Oh, yeah. Road Dog also got fired, you know? And his
with
brother
William
also
Regal,
got fired.
Bro. William Regal, man. I mean, that's Triple H's main man. That's the guy Triple H looked up to. In WCW and all that shit. It's always been William Regal for him. And, man, they got rid of fucking William Regal? Oh, man.
I am insulted because the least you could have done, the common courtesy, ladies and gentlemen, that this company could have done, is just gave him a proper send-off. Because William Regal was here since day one of NXT. He's been here since day one. He's been... like the centerpiece of NXT. He was the general manager since 2011 to 2022. It's astonishing. Not only that, Road Dogg gets released, unfortunately, and his brother, Scott Armstrong, the referee, a veteran of a referee and one of the most infamous heel refs in WWE because he was the corrupted ref for Teddy Long during the Undertaker and CM Punk feud. He was the crooked ref for the Authority angle. It's really mind-boggling. And now I have more unfortunate news regarding NXT.
Oh, no.
It has come to my attention, ladies and gentlemen, that, you know, again... this is a personal attack to Triple H. Bruce Pritchard is officially in charge of NXT. That's right.
Bruce Pritchard.
Yeah. The guy who writes for Raw and SmackDown and the way they are right now is in charge of a developmental program.
Dude, okay. God help us all. Well, okay, here's the thing, right? Yeah, it sucks that William Regal's fucking gone, right? And you know what? That they shouldn't have never fucking released him. It sucks that the Armstrong brothers are gone, both Road Dogg and Scott, right? That sucks because they have a fucking excellent mind for the business too, both of them, right? One and one. And Regal, of course, right? But, you know, at least they put fucking Pritchard in charge. And you know what? I know what you're going to say, right? Fuck Bruce Pritchard. He's just a fucking kiss ass. Whatever. But the thing is, Bruce Pritchard was one of the ones responsible for turning fucking TNA around, dude. Like, Bruce Pritchard knows his wrestling. He knows his wrestlers, too. Maybe not as good as William Regal, but he's going to give a different insight to NXT 2.0. And I'm kind of interested to see it. I really wish that Pritchard and Regal were working together because I think Pritchard and Regal would fucking be like, they would just fucking destroy the goddamn business. They would burn the fucking house down every fucking show if they were working together. But Pritchard, he's got a wrestling mind, and he knows talent when he sees it, but he's also more in tune to, like, the WWE style of, like, storyline writing and coming up with, like, these weird fucking scenarios for people to be in backstage and shit. So I think that's kind of why they picked him, and I just want to see where it's going to go with it. You know what I mean? Where they're going to go with it.
I have to respectfully disagree, Albert, because here's the thing, though. The reason why Bruce Pritchard was successful in TNA, I'll give you one reason, because he was not under the supervision of Vince McMahon. Now that he is, he's inadequate to do his job, so there you go.
Right. Okay. So. Okay, I can see that. But
it's a good point that, like, Vince is on this fucking tear right now, too, bro. Like, Vince is really, like, for some reason, maybe the last, I don't know what he was doing during COVID, but it was like Vince was invisible during that shit. And then, boom, like, now he's back and he's fucking shit up. You know what I'm saying? So everybody's probably kissing Vince's ass time.
It has to be AEW, dude. It has to be AEW, and there's no other reason for all this crazy shit to be happening right now. But I don't understand, like, the logic behind a lot of it, but whatever.
Yeah.
The logic behind what? The releases?
And booking.
Oh,
and
yeah,
just like
the logic behind everything.
Non-booking,
the releases, everything.
For 2 days and being done with it or shit like that.
The releases, I firmly believe that they're doing it to save money, you know, like they say they are. It's a different time for them right now. They have the fucking board of directors and shit piping down their fucking throats with memos and shit, and they got to do this, and they got to do that. They're being micromanaged when they've never had this before, and so that's what I think.
I would also like to report the backstage morale. They're angry. They're angry, sad, and confused. That's the morale right now in WWE. Angry.
Why is that?
What?
Why is that? Why are they angry, sad, and confused?
Okay, they're angry because their close friends are being fired out of their jobs.
Oh.
They're sad because their close friends are gone from their jobs, and they're confused as to why is this all happening.
Yeah. I still think they're going to get sold sometime soon. I just don't know when.
I would think the only people that would buy, and you know, would be Disney. You know, that's the only market I would think of that would take WWE.
Fox couldn't buy the whole thing? You don't think, could Fox buy the whole WWE?
No. Fox is owned by Disney, so.
Yeah, you're right. I'm tripping. I guess Disney.
Disney's the only one they could try to auction this because ESPN doesn't want them. Amazon doesn't want them. I highly doubt Hulu or Netflix want them. They have a failing streaming service with Peacock that is, you know, unfortunately bad, that they play commercials during promo vignettes for some of the matches. The streaming is terrible. It crashes. So, yeah. Disney's the only buyer that I would think as business that they would sell to because WWE's PG and it fits right up in Disney's alley.
Yeah.
Well, not everything Disney does is PG and not everything that Disney does has to be PG. I mean, they own Miramax as well. And they're known for, like, you know, having a bunch of fucking rated R movies and some, you know, some Tarantino movies and shit like that too under their belt. So technically,
Pulp Fiction. Don't leave out the racist cartoons of the 60s and whatever.
So I understand that Disney has a specific image, but I mean, it's not like, you know, they it's not like the fucking shit that they try to portray them to be. You know, if something's going to make them money, they're going to fucking do it. And it doesn't really matter. You know what I mean? Think of all, like, the Touchstone films and the Miramax films that Disney owns. You know, there's a bunch of rated R and, you know, shit going on there. So it doesn't necessarily have to be. And then, like, so if anybody's going to buy it, I would have to agree, yeah, it should be Disney. But I'm just kind of, like, worried that it's going to turn into, like, a Ted Turner type thing with, like, WCW where the executive's just like, nah, we don't want to do this shit anymore, like. Get rid of it, and then, like,
well, that's,
you know what I mean? If anything, dude, like, I think, you know, and here's, like, a completely, like, just long shot, that it could be the Khan family, Tony Khan and his dad, that could buy it and merge it with AEW,
right.
And that's very possible that they could do that, you know, yeah. But I guess we'll
yeah.
see.
Well, that's where Disney Plus comes in, you know. If you want to see adult content, then turn off parental controls. Boom. Use the video library for Disney Plus. There you go. Mature audiences.
I think they got Jenna Jameson on there.
Huh?
I'm reading about Vince McMahon right now. The best thing I've read so far is that he has such a reputation as a control freak that he hates sneezing because he can't control it.
How's that?
Going back to your question, Chuck, I don't think Jenna Jameson's a Disney princess just yet, but we'll give
okay.
it another 50 years and see if Disney buys a whatever porn company she's involved with, and you know, and Disney gets into the porn business and buys the library of Jenna Jameson and Sasha Gray and all of them, and we'll see what happens.
Swami, was that it for the news?
No. There's one more piece of news, and this is a wrestling news, but it's sad news altogether. Unfortunately, famous comedian Bob Saget passed away. You know, yesterday, 2 days ago. He was found dead in an Orlando, Florida hotel, and. We sent our condolences to the Saget family, and rest in peace. You know, this is a sad news. First, Betty White passes away, and now Bob Saget. This is not how I wanted 2022 to start off, you know?
Both of them. Rest in peace, Bob, and rest in peace, Betty. You know, both of them had short stints in wrestling, too, right? You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, Betty White was the host of Monday Night Raw some years ago. And what does she do? She did some stuff. I don't remember, but I remember seeing it. I remember watching it, being completely thrilled by the whole thing. And, of course, Bob Saget was the temporary commissioner of Chikara Pro Wrestling. And that video is actually pretty hilarious.
Man,
when he, like, comes on the screen. Yeah, you didn't know that?
Wow. No, I didn't.
Yeah. No, there's a video online of Bob Saget, or there's a couple where he's in the commission of Chikara, and he would just come on screen, and he would just be reading from his desk with a piece of paper. It's actually, like, really funny, like, but he was acting like he didn't want to fucking do it. He was just like, blah, 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 you know what I mean? And, like, the wrestlers were, like, freaking out, and you're going to fight so-and-so tonight, and blah, blah, blah. And it was just really funny, but, yeah.
Wow. So, rest in peace, Bob Saget.
Yeah. I thought about it like, before, like, as far as Donald Trump is concerned, which I'm definitely not a fan of, like, I'm really not a fan of any president, to be honest, but wouldn't he be the only man who was ever in the ring as a president? And, like, didn't he get body slammed, like, in the ring at one point?
No.
Right, he's a Hall of Famer.
He was in
he shaved Vince McMahon's head.
Yeah, he never bumped. He like shaved Vince's head.
I could have swore he did a scene in the ring where like somebody like did like a body slam on him.
Oh, he got stunned by Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, yeah,
he
did get stunned.
Like, clothesline or something like that, right?
He got stunned.
Yeah,
by Stone Cold. It was a terrible stunt.
Well, because it was a safe bump. They didn't want to hurt him.
He didn't know how to fucking, he didn't know how to do it, but anyway. It was an attempt.
Although I wouldn't think he would sue the company because he's friends with Vince McMahon in real life, so I wouldn't think he wanted to sue, so.
Well, yeah, I'm just looking at a picture of him. I'm reading a lot of the history of Vince McMahon right now, and it's because he's posing with Donald J. Trump in the photo. So it's like, I guess they're like pretty close buddies or something.
There's a story out there that fucking that Vince McMahon lit a joint in one of Trump's hotels. Something about that. I don't know. Well, I read something like that recently.
That's what they're talking. No, yeah, that's what they're talking about in this story. Is whenever they pissed in somebody's bed, and then like there was all this like chaos that ensued. Like, was it Bret Hart? Was it say right here Bret Hart's involved? Yeah, like there was like, yeah. Where's the part where it's saying he pissed in somebody's bed? Got pissed in, and then there was a big fight in the room.
Yeah, bunch of nonsense with when it comes to those two, that bunch of hooligans in the hotels and shit at Trump Towers. But well, shit, man, let's fucking take. Yeah.
Oh, this is, you'll get into the stories, but you don't realize how crazy fucking Vince McMahon is backstage. Like the stories of him like getting drunk and fighting Kurt Angle on an airplane and shit.
Man,
like,
I know, dude.
So, yeah, they,
now
they
that shit's
Rick
off
Flair,
surface,
they,
man, I see him in a whole new different way.
They peed in Ric Flair's bed, and then they peed in Ric Flair's bed, and then oh, this is what it says: is that Hercules Hernandez manhandled McMahon, and then he was released from the company that they were wrestling for shortly thereafter.
Oh, shit. I mean, and, you know, a story like that's so fucking crazy that it's got to be true. It's got to be true. But we're going to take a fucking break right now. When we come back, we're going to get into some more shit. Including some AEW Weekly and, of course, the WWE Report.
Yep.
So we'll be right back after these words, State of Boy Radio.
You know it's all about the power!
Friendly Fire Cigars. Come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, DAO, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, 4 HD TVs with 4 separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Ashford, Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there.
We welcome you to the Lone Star State with big wide open arms. But if you're trapping litter, well, that's cause for some alarm. You gotta keep our environment clean, and that's the honest truth. So don't you mess with Texas, lest you wanna get the boot. Go, don't mess with Texas. This land is for me and you. From Dallas to the valley, every highway looking dandy. So future generations can enjoy too.
Anybody have any idea who this song is?
I do.
Yeah. Who else? Anybody else?
You want me to say it or?
Okay. I couldn't really hear drums. I heard kind of like a snare drum. I didn't really hear it.
I got
but
it
yeah,
right here. This was back in the day when this guy mattered. Tell him about it, Christian.
It's Cesaro.
Oh, yeah.
I know he got ripped in pretty good. He fucking really does suck now. I mean, holy shit.
Unfortunately.
He didn't suck.
Well, I mean, he doesn't suck, but, like, you know, what he's having to do. The work that he's having,
yeah.
that he's been relegated to. It's
nothing.
I feel bad for the guy.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, he's doing what he's got to do, man. And, you know, I don't think he's ever going to get a world title.
No.
I think he might get a couple more chances. But
no.
He's going to go down with, like, a fucking William Regal or, like, a Curt Hennig, you know, like, one of those, like, best wrestlers who never fucking won the world title.
Man, I like the guy. I think he's good.
Yeah.
But anyway, it is what it is. Cesaro. He's now Cesaro. So. We got some AEW shit. We got to talk about.
Yep.
So, let me fucking cue the music. But I think I have it right here. Yeah.
And now, the resident watchdog, Christian from Philly with AEW Weekly.
Welcome. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, one and all, to the AEW Weekly Show. I'm your host, Christian from Philly, the Swami. I'm here to report what's happened on this past week of AEW. First things first, let's talk about Battle of the Belts, the Saturday show that they had, the one-hour Saturday show, the Super Card, right? Three title matches transpired in the show. Britt Baker versus Rio. We can skip that one because we kind of knew that Britt Baker was going to retain, so we'll skip that one. That one's not really exciting.
Did anybody watch this live as it happened besides Christian?
No, just Clint's, man. I don't even really have the capability to watch any of these shows live. I have to watch them after the fact, wherever I can get them.
Yeah, gotcha.
But I watch just the good the clips of the main things that happened, honestly.
Yeah. So, yeah. We could also skip the Ricky Starks versus Matt Sydal match. It was a good match. It was for the FTW Championship, but we could skip that because we knew that Matt Sydal was going to lose to Ricky Starks, so skip it. We go to the important thing. Yeah?
I was just going to say that, like, I did know that this match was happening, and this made me go down, like, this rabbit hole of, like, researching the FTW belt. And just Taz, and, like, the FTW belt is just bullshit. Like, it's just funny that he invented it. RVD has this shoot where he's, like, talking about Taz having the FTW belt. And it's really funny because Taz just invented this shit, and they brought it back, and he still has it. And I love Taz. I say that as, like, a big Taz fan. But I think it's fucking stupid for a guy to make up his own belt just out of nowhere. Team Taz all those years ago too. Like Team Taz is just what he called his entourage. They were just boys that like worked for him. What the fuck?
Well, it's like the $1 million championship. You know what I mean? Like just
exactly.
One of those fucking. It's just something that a heel does, right? They make their own fucking title belt. They're like, I'm the fucking champion. And then like after like so many years, it becomes like you know semi prestigious as like a lower mid card fucking belt for somebody. You know to give a little
yeah.
rub to somebody. But that's about it, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So we go to the important match on the show. The interim TNT championship. Now, if you don't know what that means, I'll explain it to you. Cody Rhodes couldn't make it to the show because he had COVID. And it was for the interim TNT championship. As of right now, Cody Rhodes was stripped off the title.
No.
So it was a battle between Dustin Rhodes, his brother, versus Sammy Guevara. It was a great match. And Sammy Guevara is your interim TNT champion now. So that means Cody is no longer the champion. Sammy is the interim champion. And we are going to get a second match between these two because Cody's going to try to take back his title, you know, because he never lost it. It was stripped because of unfortunate circumstances. But this would be a great way for Cody. This is their chance to turn him heel. Why? I'll explain it to you. When Cody returns, Cody should attack his brother and beat the dog crap out of him. Beat the dog shit out of him. You know why? Because they could write a storyline saying, I didn't lose my belt. You did. You wrestled for me. You lost for me. You failed me. So because of you, I lost my belt. And because of Arn, I lost my belt because he didn't try hard enough. So this would be the perfect opportunity for Cody to turn heel. Beat the shit out of both Arn and Dustin and start it up. There you go.
Sounds like a bunch of Homer Simpsons. Yeah. It sounds like what they're setting up, you know? It sounds like exactly what they're setting up. And then, you know,
the Swami
will get chicken again.
What?
The Swami knows. Well, I'll tell you what, man. I was in the middle of a Dallas Cowboys game during this, so I did not watch it. And unlike Kevier, I did not even bother seeking out clips. I knew we were going to, you know, be told about it. And, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, it is prestigious. This is the good wrestling we should be watching. Like, these are the meaningful wrestling matches, is AEW stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I need to watch it. I always say that. But fuck, we've talked about this before. Who has time of day to watch all the fucking wrestling that's on TV now? Dude, that's the thing. For me, I get most of my media through YouTube, and I can get most of my wrestling through YouTube. If I wanted to, I could find the whole match or whatever. So I think that that's just the business model now that a lot of viewers are probably taking. You know, a lot of people probably aren't watching the whole fucking show. And it shows in the ratings.
Yeah. Now we go to other news in AEW Weekly. Rey Fénix dislocates his arm. I called Kevin.
Ouch.
I called him and I told him this. This was for the AEW World Tag Team Championships. This was on Dynamite. It was the Lucha Brothers versus the Jungle Express. And the Luchasaurus was gonna choke slam Rey Fénix through a table, but Rey Fénix landed his arm wrong, and his arm bent in the wrong way. This was on live TV, by the way, so it was not censored, and I watched it for all its glory of his arm bending the wrong way. He was rushed to the hospital afterwards. The camera panned away from him. They called an audible, and the Lucha Brothers lost the tag titles to the Jungle Express. Not a good way to start 2022 for AEW. And, yeah, Rey Fénix is out for a while with a dislocated arm. Now, the good news is that it wasn't broken. It was dislocated. But the bad news is he's going to be away for a while. But he was not the only injury that happened this past week, as a returning Jack Atlas, who recently signed to AEW. Jake Atlas, who was from NXT and WWE, who was away for mental reasons or whatever, I don't know. He got injured during the Rampage taping. He got an injured leg facing Adam Cole. And, yeah, so he's out of injury, too. So in the same week, two men got badly injured.
It's got to be rough. They're not playing ballet out there or whatever the hell. So.
All right, any thoughts from other guys?
I was on mute there. Yeah, that's fucking terrible. But I was going to also mention that Charlie Haas made a big comeback to Impact Wrestling and was immediately injured as well. So there's three guys injured this week.
I told y'all a few weeks ago, like Charlie Haas, and he probably will accept y'all's too. I sound like a stupid mark, but like he accepted a friend request from me on Facebook, and he's like, Charlie Haas is probably like the most famous wrestler too. And like I just throw him out there at these guys if I see, because every once in a while I'll see their actual personal Facebook because I have so many mutual wrestling friends, right? And so I'll see the actual guys, and I'll just be like, ah, fuck it, let's try. So I've been like following Charlie Haas and liking his posts and like fucking like, and then yeah, seeing that today, I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, dude.
So all three companies got injury people because Sasha Banks also broke her foot, and it's not severe, but she's going to miss the Royal Rumble. She's going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks. So from all three companies, a bunch of people got injured.
Man, rough way to start 2022.
Yeah,
definitely.
What else? Oh, in other news, AEW Weekly, Bryan Danielson's first loss, official loss in the company. That's right. There was no point in the three judges because it didn't go to the one-hour mark. Adam Page defeated Bryan Danielson clean in the ring.
Oh,
so now Bryan Danielson officially lost. For the first time in AEW.
Wow.
That's good. That's really good. That's a good thing. What a cool story that they have this badass match. Like, they have this fucking long draw, like, this badass match first, and then they do it again, and Hangman fucking wins. And like, that's good. That's good wrestling. Storytelling.
I think so, too, man. I mean, you know, he's not there to win every fucking match.
Yeah, don't drag
just
it out.
Because
for
he's
fucking
Daniel Bryan.
Bryan Daniel. Here's the question, though, guys. Now that this is over, what's Bryan Danielson going to do now? Is he going to stay a heel, or is he going to turn back to being babyface?
Well, I think he's going to be a heel for a while. I think He really thoroughly enjoys being a heel. So I think he's going to be a heel at least for the next, you know, at least until the end of 2022.
He beat the dog shit out of the whole Dark Order, so I don't think he can go back to being a babyface right away.
Well, he didn't beat all the members. He only beat a few.
Enough of them.
Yeah. Let's see what else. Okay. One last thing in the AEW Weekly. Jade Cardgill is officially your first ever women's TBS world champion in a very unfortunately lackluster. Yep, exactly. Homer Simpson. This was unfortunately a lackluster and terrible women's match because, you know, Jade Cardgill is terrible, unfortunately. She's green.
She didn't do nothing.
She's a specialist.
She didn't do anything.
She can't. I don't know. You can't. I don't want to say she can't wrestle that good. I did watch clips of the match, and it looked like
she
their style
did nothing.
Got like a really good wrestler who didn't really like Ruby didn't really carry Jade in that match. Like Jade is the heel, and from what I understand, Steve always used to talk about is like the heel is supposed to be the ring general or whatever. Most of the time the heel's the one that's calling the match and telling them when to put the rub on them and shit like that. So if Jade doesn't know how to do that exactly, and Ruby's, I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm just thinking maybe that's what happened. But I think that Jade is like something special and should be like invested in by the company. She's fucking thick looking. She looks badass.
She looks mystical out there. She looks like a mystical.
My homeboy like shared a picture of her. I got this buddy who like draws like really badass. What do you call that? Like life art, or he'll draw like people, like human figures and shit. And he had no idea who she was, but he posted a bunch of pictures of her one day. Because I guess he just, like, found out about her, like, physique and was, like, fucking, he was like, dude, look at this chick. And it was just, like, a bunch of pictures. And then, like, him drawing her and stuff. So, I mean, she is super ripped. That's something worth investing in, I think, if somebody's that fucking ripped as a wrestler. It doesn't always work out, though. We know that.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, she is green to be in the position that she's in. I think it's the point Christian is making. I have to agree. I mean,
she has time to what are they doing when they're training? Like, it's been fucking months. Like, and I get that they wrestle, like, she doesn't wrestle as much. She's not on dark as much as some of the other people are and stuff. So I just wonder, like, how much time is she spending in the ring? And if she's not, like, how long do you really stay green? Fucking, is it like
I know,
being
right?
a comedian with?
Obviously, they're protecting her character by not showing her and shit on television. But, I mean, shit. Like you said, they've been presenting her for a long time now. So, I mean, fuck. You know, is she in there working every day and shit?
I have no idea. Unfortunately, you know, and this is what I have a gripe with, too. They gave it away that she was going to win because her husband and her kid was in the audience when this happened. So that kind of gave it away that she was going to win this match. So that's my gripe on this. So.
Yeah. Hey, there's one more thing from AEW that I don't think we talked about on the show.
Yes.
What is it?
That motherfucker Hook. Y'all been watching this fucking upswing of this dude Hook? It's
oh,
just like people
been,
are going,
he's been
fuck.
Fantastic.
They're going fucking crazy for him. He is badass, too.
He's a better. He's better than
I love when an organic babyface comes around. When you get this organic fucking person that just people love and they don't know why they love. And Hook's the first. Hook. I have a buddy named Hook. Hook is the first one in a long time. AEW has more of those than WWE has, I think. But I don't know. It is cool. And as much as I was, like, cheesing on Taz earlier, the history that comes with Hook being Taz's kid is pretty cool. And, like, they're doing a good job of presenting that story, too, without rubbing it in your face.
Right.
So what is he about or what? I've only seen him in pictures. Looks like a deranged young man.
Really nice, he's got, like, this really nice hair. And that's, like, 90% of it.
Now, I've seen his hair. I know what he looks like. I'm just saying, like, what is he about? Like,
dude, there's just a video that just dropped of Hook. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, where he's, like, at a strip club, like, throwing this fucking money, and this chick's, like shaking her ass in his face. It's pretty funny. Like, I don't know if you're on
MJF,
or not.
MJF shared it on Facebook, Twitter, and shit. MJF, like, shared screenshots from the video. And he has no chill on Facebook, dude. MJF is one of the funniest Facebook accounts. But, yeah. Hook, his thing, I guess, is just that he's just a little guy who packs a fucking wallop, dude. He's just a fucking hard hitter. And he's got those suplexes that his daddy taught him. And the motherfucker knows how to wrestle. And then the ladies love him. The men want to be him.
Oh, hell. Wow. So this guy oozes charisma.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't talk either.
He
like I haven't.
He's
been, I don't think I've heard him talk once.
Wow.
He doesn't need to talk, bro. He needs, his action speaks louder than his words. He doesn't need to talk. And he's better than a certain other Suns wrestler, Dominic Mysterio. He's better than Dominic.
Yeah.
You know it's true.
I'm sure he is. I mean, I've not seen Hook, but I'm sure he is. Dominic is poor. Piss poor.
I keep waiting for that. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Swami Christian from Philly with this week's WWE report. Swami?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the WWE report where I report anything that happens, good or bad, in the WWE. Let us begin with SmackDown real quick. Brock Lesnar shows up, WWE champion, on SmackDown. He shows up and confronts Roman Reigns, you know, the usual. Roman Reigns and Brock bicker. Paul Heyman talks. Brock tells him to shut up. Roman says don't talk to him like that, even though Roman was the one who fired him. So Brock went back to bullying Heyman, and then Roman Superman punched him, surprised him. So there you have it right there, you know. Custody battle angle between Roman, Brock, and Paul. It's like they're fighting for the kid, like their parents. Later on tonight, later on that night, Adam Pearce said that someone at the end of the night will be Roman's next opponent for Royal Rumble. And that someone happens to be Seth Rollins.
Yeah, freaking Rollins.
So we're getting... Huh?
It's Seth freaking Rollins. Christian, get it right.
Oh, yeah. Seth freaking Rollins. So it's going to be Seth freaking Rollins versus Roman Reigns in the Royal Rumble. I honestly don't know how to feel about this one, everybody. I'm going to be honest. I am not that excited for this match because I've seen it a million times. What?
I said, why should we be?
Yeah, why should we be?
What
because
reason,
Seth
what
Rollins
reason, what
showed up at the back and laughed.
What have they done this year to make us invested in this match? This match is purely based off of shit that they did fucking 5 years ago.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
They're in a fucking pinch. They're in a pinch, and there's no other reason
for it
other than they're in a fucking pinch.
Unfortunately,
because of Roman Reigns getting the COVID or whatever the hell. And that's a direct result of this shit.
That's not the only reason why. You have to understand the other reason is because Roman, unfortunately, has buried the whole entire roster of SmackDown.
Yeah.
There's no one legit enough to face him for this belt.
That's the worst reason. In this whole time, they've done nothing but knock people down continuously. Look at how they knocked down fucking Xavier Woods. He couldn't even wear his fucking crown, enjoy his fucking crown. They had to demolish it. And then to give it back to him and shit, like, and he just stays out of Roman's way now. I mean, that whole thing is so fucked up. Everybody. They fed everybody to fucking Roman. Look at fucking Finn Balor.
Yeah.
Got fed to Roman. Everybody. So, yeah, they don't have anybody. But they're Seth Rollins from way back in the day, you know, and him showing up laughing, you know, with Roman or, you know, at Roman, I guess. Who the fuck knows?
And think about this.
Is enough.
Think about this another. Seth Rollins is a heel, and Roman's a heel. And realistically, who is people supposed to cheer for in this?
Well, whoever they want to, right?
Yeah, people will pick a side.
I guess.
People will pick a side regardless.
I guess. All right,
before
now
I go
to...
Hey, before I go to for my semi-annual, sorry to cut you off, and go back to the last segment, but can I make a comment on some footage I was watching from the AEW and, like, what y'all were talking about?
Well,
all right.
You know, I was listening to everything you're saying, too, and I was watching some footage, but, you know, what I feel, you know, Jade's got amazing physique, of course, and then, you know, Hook's got some nice hair or whatever, but it all just seems a little choreographed to me. What's boring about Jade is she does the same finishing move like every single time, and then I don't know, it just almost seems like Jade is effortlessly getting like some moves in on folks, like even though like he's always like that wrestler like, oh no, he's pinned, and then he just like makes this amazing comeback. It looks a little boring to me. Sorry, but
yeah,
that's just my
it's fine.
That's my opinion.
It's fine.
That's cool.
We all think she's boring, so it's fine.
It's a problem with new wrestlers. It's just looks like thing like new wrestlers. That's kind of what I was saying with her not being the general, not being the heel that's running the match, being the heel that's following. Because it's like not the natural dynamic when you're taught like how a wrestling match kind of is put together. That's what they kind of teach you, that the heel usually leads.
Yep.
It's cool to watch, though. Of course, like, they're going to be, like, superstars, though, because they've got the look and the image. But, you know, they'll develop.
And... All right, to continue on, we go to Monday Night Raw. All right, let's continue on. We have the Beast, Brock Lesnar, opening Raw. You know, he opened SmackDown, now he's opening Raw. And... this is the beginning of the build for the Bobby Lashley Lesnar match for Royal Rumble. Bobby Lashley versus Lesnar. We're talking about Raw.
No, I know. I was making a reference to Brock's knock knock joke.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Bobby who?
Before Bobby Lashley even goes out, two unfortunate losers see him. I mean, Cedric and Shelton, you know? Cedric and Shelton, who are still wearing the Hurt Business merchandise, says, you know, hey, Bobby, how you doing? You know, I can't wait to go out there with you. And unfortunately, Bobby Lashley says, no, you're not. I want nothing to do with you. You're losers. You know, we're done. I'm sitting there, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm confused. I'm dumbfounded. Like, wait, but you were okay with them helping you beat up Goldberg, but when it comes to Brock Lesnar, you're not okay with them now?
No.
So, again, we never got an explanation of why they went back to Bobby Lashley. I'm supposed to get for out of this is like Cedric and Shelton are just lost puppies who are so broken and so lost in the wrestling world that they thought by going back to Bobby Lashley that her business was back. That's the story that I'm getting out of this, that they, you know, they still think they were part of the Hurt Business. But in reality, they weren't. So, there you go.
No, it's really, Stop really, really... Smart. It's really surreal and, like, kind of like a... It'd be really funny if WWE did this more often with other storylines. Like, if they just fucking pretended like something never happened and then went back and did it again. Like, they fucking... They already did this. They already kicked these motherfuckers out. And then they brought him back with no explanation, just like they were just like, we never kicked him out. And then they're like, okay, now we're kicking you out. What the fuck? That literally happened. It's so weird. And it was, and there were times on this show where we were all talking about the Hurt Business being the fucking, could have been the fucking future of the company. It could have been this fucking great, like, faction that could have, like, carried on. But, man, they fucked the pooch on that.
Yeah, because nobody can look better than Roman.
Yeah. So Bobby Lashley
really weird.
Comes out. Huh?
It's just really weird. I don't trust them anymore. I don't trust them. Why should we trust them? It's so funny that they do shit like this. The show makes no sense.
Yeah. What about you, Albert?
Well, we're on the Hurt Business. Yeah, dude, okay, yeah, I agree with Kevin that, you know, they could have been, like, easily, like, one of the best things to WWE at the time. But or at the time of today, but the fact that they're fucking like just pretending like they're just like going back and forth with this. But at the same time, I think it has something to do with like, it has something to do with, I think that they think that Cedric and Shelton aren't the producers, at least are probably thinking that they're not pulling their weight. Because, I mean, look at, like, the different factions that everybody loves, you know what I mean? Like, you know, the New Day are still together, and they fucking dominate WWE TV and you know, whatever. They let them do whatever the fuck they want to do. What else? Well, that's pretty much it. Everybody else has been broken up. The Shield's broken up. So... There's always, like, some sort of, like, weird excuse that, like, WWE, like, officials have for, like, breaking up a group or releasing somebody, and it's always some stupid shit, like, oh, they just weren't doing their job properly, like, how we wanted them to do it, so we're just going to, like, not do this anymore. You know what I mean? Like, they're, like, notorious for that shit.
Yeah,
where's
like
that other guy? I mean, you know, like, what happened to him and his little faction?
Who?
That guy, Mansoor. No, yeah. Okay.
Oh,
the guy
Ali?
That was with, yeah, Ali. What happened to Ali?
I have no idea. He suddenly disappeared.
I mean, he just fucking
like the
disappeared.
Just like Elias. Just like Elias, who suddenly disappeared. I don't know. He'll probably come back in the Royal Rumble, but we'll just have to see. Anyway.
Yeah.
So we go to Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar, you know. MVP and Paul Heyman barely talk in this, you know, the two people that need to talk for these two because these two are terrible when it comes to promos, unfortunately. But Brock Lesnar is a little bit better than Bobby Lashley because Brock completely destroyed Bobby Lashley and made him look like amateur hour, you know. He basically buried Bobby Lashley. With the knock-knock joke. Bobby who? So, yeah. And then, for some reason, two sad puppies came to the ring, started trying to bite Bobby Lashley with their small teeth, but then Bobby Lashley beat the crap out of them, and that's the end of them. You know, they're right back to being in catering. You know, I heard Titus O'Neil is serving a nice plate of lasagna and catering, so at least they'll look forward to that, you know.
That's not the end of it, Christian. You know that's not the end of it. That's how Bobby loses to Brock. Bobby's going to lose because they're going to fuck with his match somehow.
I think they're done because Cedric looked like he died in that segment. He's dead.
I don't think they want Brock to beat Bobby really badly the first time. I think they're going to do shenanigans with the Hurt Business.
They didn't bring him out for nothing, man. There's going to be some drama there.
Maybe we'll
it's the only thing that makes sense for Cedric and Shelton, dude, because, like, after how they've been treated by fucking MVP and Bobby, like, they have to fuck them up. I don't know if they're ever going to be viewed as cool again. Like, they're just, I don't know. They have to come back and do something.
They will. And then the story continues, you know, with them too taking on, you know.
Because MVP's almost ready to wrestle again. So they might just fucking have Bobby lose because of the Hurt Business, and then boom, they do Hurt Business versus fucking MVP
and
Bobby.
Yeah, they shift away Lesnar, you know, to some to the next guy.
Yeah.
To Rollins or whatever the fuck.
I like that.
Oh, shit.
My boys, there was something else I wanted to comment on. You know what? Roman Reigns comes out and makes a fucking Jack and the Beanstalk joke or something. Everybody starts shitting on him. But Brock Lesnar can go out there and tell a stupid-ass knock-knock joke, and everybody's like, oh, Brock's so funny. Everybody on fucking social media was just loving this knock-knock joke. Bobby who? I get it. It's like an old – it is funny, but it's just it's a corny thing that – if any other wrestler does it, everybody shits on him. But because Brock Lesnar did it, people were like, oh, that was so cool.
I mean, I worked out for it. I thought it was funny because, you know, it's true. You know, I mean, Bobby Lashley doesn't have the same name that Brock Lesnar does. But, and he never will because Brock Lesnar is a fucking star on a different level, UFC and all that shit.
Well, he's up there. He's getting up there, though. He is.
But anyway.
It just takes time, you know.
I still, you know, he's still a fucking badass on the stick, but he is. He did do a lot better than Bobby Lashley, I guess. Bobby Lashley, they didn't give him a chance, though. Because Bobby Lashley, I've seen him do where, you know, he can get by. We'll see how it goes. We still have a week or two.
Yeah, only if he's with MVP. Other than that, I have my doubts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then other clowns, I don't know how they fit in.
Yeah. Moving on, we have RK-Bro versus Alpha Academy in a Raw tag title match. I didn't really care for this match.
No.
But
first of all, he had to know that they were going to win the title. They had brand new matching panties. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fucking baby faces or the heels, whatever the hell they are. They had brand new matching panties.
Yeah.
You just had to know they were going to fucking win. And they
did. Yeah, they did. They won, which, you know, the beginning of the end for RK-Bro. That means Randy, I would think, since it's his hometown of St. Louis, Missouri, Royal Rumble, that he would be in the Royal Rumble match. I mean, I don't think I don't think they would have Randy turn on Matt Riddle in his hometown. That wouldn't make no sense. I wouldn't think they would do that. I would think they would wait until, like, Elimination Chamber to do that. But, yeah. RK-Bro lost the tag title. I mean, we had to give it to somebody else at this point. Like, how many months have they held the titles? They held it since SummerSlam, right?
Damn, has it been that long?
Yeah, it's been a while. I don't have this.
Yeah, they've held it since SummerSlam, so they've held it for a good while, you know. But all things must come to an end, you know. Moving on.
I think we'll get Riddle versus Randy at the Rumble. I think that is the match they're going to go with. And just because I've seen more rumors of that than anything. Just because I've seen more fucking people saying that that's what's going to happen. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Which is going to be cool. We've seen it already, but like them with like a blood feud behind them is going to be good.
But then people are going to, over there, they're going to cheer for Randy. So
that's good. Yeah.
It's his hometown.
Randy.
Set him free. Sacrifice Matt Riddle to Randy Orton so that he can be a fucking badass heel and fight Brock Lesnar again and beat him this time.
Randy.
Yeah. So we go to, I'm going to skip this match. We go to a pointless six-man tag between Damian Priest and the Street Profits versus Dirty Dogs and Apollo Crews. Skip, the heels win, you know, had no value, no nothing. Damian Priest, again, is boring. So I'm going to skip it.
It was a fast-paced match for sure. The Street Profits just fucking moved, dude. They're so sick. But, yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't horrible.
Yeah, this was nothing.
Damian
what
Priest
about how they paired the fucking Dirty Dogs with the, who was it?
With Apollo Crews.
Yeah, with Apollo Crews. I mean, what the fuck?
It's random. It had no,
it's terrible.
It was random. Yeah.
It was a very, like,
so,
like, this is the kind of match that you would see, like, any random time you flip through your channels. Like, this is the match that 90% of the time is going to be on WWE TV. Is a match like that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah. So up next, we had Seth freaking Rollins cutting a promo, announcing he's going to face Roman Reigns, you know, his Shield brother. Then out comes Big E, saying that he hopes Seth wins. So when he wins the Royal Rumble, he faces Seth Rollins at WrestleMania for the Universal title. And this leads to the match between that was supposed to happen at Day One, Seth Rollins versus Big E. And I watched it. I'm not going to lie, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I've been very fair 2 weeks. You know, I haven't lost my shit. You know, I've been mellow. I mean, they're all witnesses, right? You're all witnesses, right? I've been mellow, right?
Yeah.
Minister?
Yeah.
He's been tame.
All right.
He's been tame. 22.
All right. But no, this match, I'm glad the Day One pay-per-view happened with a Fatal 5-Way, because this match was pretty boring. The crowd, this was in my hometown, by the way, this show, Philadelphia. You know, mm-hmm. The craziest wrestling fans ever, you know. And they were bored to death of this match. They didn't care for this match. They didn't make no reaction to this match. This match was boring. There was, like, mostly rest holds, and then Seth does, like, a few high spots. But other than that, this match was boring. Seth beats Big E, and, you know, this just makes Big E look like a schmuck, because he's right back where he started. It's like he was never world champion to begin with. And that's unfortunate. Like, he's right back where he started.
It's fucking burial, man. It's a complete fucking burial. I mean, what else is it?
Like,
look at the way he got beat at fucking at the pay-per-view tour, or at Day One, whatever the hell it was. He took the pin. They didn't even protect him or anything. He took the fucking pin. And then he went down like this again.
What about you, Kevin?
Hey, I'm sorry. I was AFK for like 15 seconds. What were y'all asking?
We're asking what's your response to the whole fact that this feels like Big E was never world champion to begin with.
After what happened. The Big E and Seth Rollins thing. I was listening to the first part of it. I just missed the last bit. He's being sacrificed too. He's just being like, they're just like, yeah. Let's switch it up. Let's give it back to Seth. He's just like an interim champion, if you will.
What happens if they flip the switch and we get to WrestleMania time and he's in the big match and ends up winning it?
Who?
Big E.
If Big E wins at WrestleMania, he could win the Rumble. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that could happen. I don't know why Seth is allowed to... Well, I guess it was at the Rumble. I don't know. I don't know why they act like they're only going to be able to fight for It seems like they're acting like the WWE title is the only one that the Rumble winner is going to be able to go for. But it could always – they can pick either way they want to go still, too, so that's a thing. We don't know which match the Rumble winner is going to actually be in yet.
Well, I think yeah, the WWE title is going to be the only one because I think Brock's going to lose it to Lashley. And then, you know, I don't know. We'll just have to see. Up next, we get a segment with Nikki Trash, Nikki Ash, pardon my French, ladies and gentlemen, with Rhea Ripley, and yeah, they've officially broken up in the worst way possible. Nikki Trash turned heel. The wrong person turned heel, everybody. Nikki Trash announced that she wanted to face Zelina and Carmella again for the tag titles. Rhea Ripley said, no, I want none of that. I want to fly solo. Nikki Trash says, nah, you're stuck with me. Then Rhea says, no, I'm not. I want to go. Then Nikki says, okay, hug me. They hug. Nikki Trash attacks her, and then she goes outside and says, superheroes don't need friends. Almost superheroes don't need friends, which completely goes against being a superhero because they're not superheroes like Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman have friends. You know, that's why there's the Justice League, but okay. Even the Hurricane kayfabe had friends, but all right.
Meanwhile,
Nikki Trash,
at the Hall of Justice,
Not to jump ahead, but Alexa Bliss return and a heel Nikki Ash. Like, we could get like a League of Villains kind of thing. Let's get like another, like this ragtag troop of fucking weirdos. I want something like that.
Meanwhile, in the Hall of Doom.
Yeah.
You know, I've been making fucking comments like for the last like 15 minutes, not even knowing that I've been on mute. You know,
don't you hate that?
But yeah, guys. What's your opinion about Nikki Trash turning heel?
Personally, I loved it. I don't know what you're talking about that the wrong person turned heel. I mean, they like to blur these lines, and I thought it was a good line to blur. You know, I thought it was going to be Rhea Ripley turning heel myself. And I was totally caught off guard, and that's why I actually liked it, because it caught me off guard. I was like, yeah, at least someone turned heel, because then, you know, it was going to be terrible. It was going to be all for nothing if nobody turned heel. And so then they took it all the way to the end. And it was fucking Nikki Ash turned heel, and you know I welcome her with open arms as a heel.
But here's the problem, though. This does Rhea no favors because the short one is beating her up, and she's taller than her. She's literally taller than this woman, and she's getting beat up by her. This is doing her no favors.
This is gonna
not
be
yet, but eventually I think it will. And Rhea Ripley will go on to be a huge baby face until someone comes back, then she turns heel or some shit. Who knows?
Awesome. All right, what's Kevin's
response? Yeah, it's going to be like a really fucking boring story. Like no matter how you book it, there's not like an interesting way to really book it. Yeah, she's short and she's tall. She's the bully. Like, I don't know. I don't think, unless they went really far out with it. But you're right. It doesn't help Rhea's character at all.
And bro, I'm watching this last night. Bros, I'm watching this last night. And, of course, I'm watching it on my laptop because I've got the football game on the fucking television, right? And so I'm watching this shit on the laptop on the side and stuff. But the whole thing screams of fucking Orton and fucking, you know, Flacco. Bro, the whole thing screams, it's going to be the same fucking shit.
Orton and who?
Yeah.
Orton and fucking the bro, Riddle.
The bro.
Yeah.
The Flacco.
The skinny dude. Albert, what's your quick opinion about this real quick?
All right, quick opinion is this the fucking road to WrestleMania starting early, because this is what they're fucking trying to do here? Now, I can see what they're trying to do. They're trying to get, you know, all this shit set up that way they can start the road to WrestleMania early. I don't fucking get it. I didn't really see it, but I don't understand why they would turn Nikki Ash a fucking heel already. She was that character that's kind of made for kids. And so now you're going to just completely flip everything on its ass and just make it something that it's not. I don't think it works. If anything, Nikki should have just went back to her old character or a version of that character. But if this is the beginning to WrestleMania, then I'm not very impressed with it right now.
All right.
That's all I got. I'm going back to mute.
Good one. All right, let's continue on. I'm going to skip the 24/7 crap. Skip. AJ Styles had a match against Austin Theory. It was decent, but then Grayson Waller from NXT interfered, cost the match. AJ lost by DQ. Boring. Skip. Almost had a squash match. Skip.
Oh, man.
Now we go to the final four. Yeah. Almost is terrible. Now we go to the final three bullet. Actually, no. Miz, Maurice, and Edge had a segment. It was boring. They were just replaying the achievements of both female wrestlers for the mixed tag match. Maurice walked away from the Miz for some reason. Skip. Terrible. We just skipped that. Now we go to the last four, two things. Now we go to the Alexa Bliss thing. The Alexa Bliss segment that happened on Raw. But, yeah. So, Alexa Bliss is still with this gimmick of, I don't know why, they had 5 months to change this. 4 months, I'm sorry. 4 months to change this, unfortunately, but she's unfortunately still this gimmick. She was in therapy, you know? It didn't take long for her to destroy the therapist's office. She overfilled the glass of water. She smashed the picture to the wall. She destroyed the desk. And that's it. She just destroyed the office, and then she screamed, and the camera zoomed in to her mouth, and it faded to black. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what this proved. I don't know what purpose did this serve. This didn't explain anything. This didn't explain anything at all. Like, she didn't once say anything about Charlotte Flair. They just showed her the video on the tablet of what happened at Extreme Rules. But not once did she mention Charlotte Flair or Lily. All she did was just sit on a chair, acting like this gimmick, and then destroyed the office. This segment.
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
All right, yeah, we're back.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, we're back. As I was saying, you know, this segment served no purpose. This, unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, I know that people who are listening right now are big Alexa Bliss fans. I'm sorry, but this was cringe. Anybody have thoughts on this?
Me. It was like rushed. It wasn't well thought out. That was the thing. Like, if they're going to go this way with her character, they could have done way better than this, because they have done better than this before. And it was just, even the guy, like sometimes they'll do this where the psychiatrist or the doctor they're talking to is like a really goofy ass funny character. It wasn't even really like that. Like this guy was just mediocre too. Fucking Supernatural, Alexa Bliss. Is she still Supernatural? What's the story? They did show, you said they didn't mention Lily, but they showed like overlaid, like they showed Charlotte like ripping Lily apart. And so she was thinking about it, you know? So I don't know. If they're just going to come back and just pick up where they left off with her, I'm fucking not behind it at all. You know, Alexa Bliss is one of my favorite superstars and has been since NXT, but, you know, I'm just ready for something new for her. So, like I said, if fucking Nikki A.S.H. teams up with her again and they're, like, bad guys and they're crazy bad guys together, I'm behind it.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to do something different with it myself, man. I think that she's going to come to – who's this fucking doctor treating her? You know,
it's just a doctor.
Yeah, so I think she's going to come to a self-aware type deal and snap out of it on her own, but it's just going to take some time. The fucking segment was horrific, though. I didn't hear it, but I had it where I had the captions on so I could read what they were saying, and it was just a bunch of nonsense. But, yeah, they did show, you know, where you could see what she was thinking. She was clearly thinking about that doll. So it's still the same shit, and I think that they're going to get her to snap out of it somehow. This doctor's going to help her.
Albert?
Believe in the medicine.
Albert, are you with us? Did you put yourself on mute again?
Yeah, okay. I was on mute.
What's your opinion on this?
Wait, what were we doing?
The electrical segment.
Oh, yeah, duh. Dude, what the fuck, dude? I was just listening to this shit right now. All right, man, I saw the fucking segment. It was cringeworthy, dude. I think fucking Alexa's acting was fucking complete crap, and I love Alexa Bliss. And I thought the fucking dude playing her doctor was just like, it was just too fucking scripted, bro. And I dig it, you know, where I dig where they're coming from with this shit, but there was no, I mean, like you said, there was no supernatural shit going on. It was just her throwing shit and smashing shit. I think maybe they're kind of leaving behind a little bit of the supernatural stuff and maybe going for like a more, you know, Harley Quinn type character or something. But, dude, I wasn't feeling the segment. I think I watched it. I watched it yesterday. That's right. Cause I came home from work and I was the first thing I saw. So, yeah, dude, like, I don't know, man. Like I said, they're setting this shit up for WrestleMania, and I just don't know how I feel about this right now. I wish Alexa Bliss would go back to her classic character. I really do.
Yeah.
That's about where I'm at right now with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, just pure babyface Alexa Bliss. Just come back with no explanation. Come back with no explanation at all and be the fucking old Alexa Bliss, and then every once in a while, like, fucking, like, kind of twitch a little bit or something, you know, like the shadows roll up.
Yeah. I'm all about that.
Yeah. All right, now we go to the final moment on Raw. We go to the Triple Threat women's match to determine who faces Becky Cringe for the Raw women's title. Unfortunately, Becky Cringe was in commentary during this time, so it was horrific. Bianca Belair versus Liv Morgan versus Doudrop. I wasn't really paying attention to this match because I honestly thought Bianca was going to win, but for some reason, I don't know why, Becky Lynch interfered and helped Doudrop win this triple threat match. Now, again, I've been fair, you know, I haven't lost my shit. But this writing is terrible. Why, in kayfabe, for real, why in kayfabe would heel Becky Lynch, instead of getting the easy win and helping Liv Morgan win this triple threat match, right? Because she could easily beat Liv Morgan if she wanted to. Why on earth would she help the biggest woman in that ring that's twice the size of Bianca and Liv Morgan together? Why would she help her win the match?
No, I think you're missing the point. I think it's because she's showing, you know, that she doesn't want to wrestle against Liv Morgan. Because maybe she's afraid of Liv Morgan.
She's not afraid, though. She beat her clean at the pay-per-view.
You know? And, I mean, it's the only thing I can think of.
But she did. Yeah, she didn't. She's not afraid, though.
She beat
her clean.
Beat Bianca in no time, so yeah, it is weird.
No,
it makes sense.
It makes no sense.
She should be scared of Bianca, of anybody. Becky should be most afraid of Bianca, but I don't know. But yeah, so what, that's going to be Dewdrop. That's the match, is Dewdrop versus Becky at the Royal Rumble?
Yes.
That's the match.
Two heels.
I dig it, and
So I mean, I want to see what Dewdrop does, really.
Unfortunately, Dewdrop's going to get buried by Becky.
Yeah,
I think it's her time. I think it's Dewdrop or Piper's time to shine on one of the big stages, you know, in a main event match. I don't think she's going to win it, but her, you know, her work ethic through the fucking indies and up through NXT and stuff like that, too, is, like, really, like, good, you know? So I think they're going to put on a good match. And I think that, but I it's not Dewdrop's time yet. If she does win, which is, like, you know, fucking 10% chance, maybe 5% chance that she could win, it'll be a huge fucking shock. And who knows, man? That could be the story that they're going with. Like, it's like, you know, Dewdrop fucking gets one up on Becky. Becky starts fucking flipping out, going crazy. You know what I mean? Like, it could be for interesting TV there.
Unless they do the second option and make it a fatal four-way.
Yeah.
Which they always do. I think they're going to do that. I think they're going to do a fatal four-way.
Dude, I'm fucking hungry, believe it or not. I haven't been eating much. I'm just, like, thinking about Whataburger right now. I just that's why our sponsor is so, like, fucking choppy. I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, dude, I'm, like, fucking starving. I'm like, oh, shit, dude. I gotta. The only thing open close to where I'm at right now is Whataburger, like, three blocks down, so... I'm definitely going to hit that up after the show.
Go get the Taco Bell wings,
what?
Eat the Taco Bell wings like a real man.
A Taco Bell wings? Oh, God. What? I've heard about these Taco Bell wings. I'm like, what the fuck? What's going on here?
Man, it's from fucking Taco Bell. It's fucking dog food, man. Fucking dog food.
Yeah, Taco Bell rings a bell in your ass. So, yeah, that's all I have for the WWE report. That was it.
Yeah.
That was a good one, buddy. That was a lot of shit.
Yes.
Right on.
It wasn't all
I have to go. My phone's about to be dead, so.
My final thought.
Cut out. I'm ready to cut out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll cut out first because my phone's about to die.
Cut us out, man.
All right. Been real, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Christian from Philly. See you all next week on Fatal 4 Radio. Peace out, motherfucker.
Cut us out, man.
Yeah. Till next week, Kevin West, the Peacekeeper, and the baby, still the previous baby, the turned heel face. I was just saying, final thoughts is that WWE. seems like they're trying, and that's a good thing. They seem like they're doing something, but it's also still a fucking clusterfuck over there. But they are doing things. So let's stay tuned.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Right on. Kevier West.
Oh, yeah.
Suddenly I can't hear. Albert, cut us out.
Well, I'm sorry about the live feed, everybody. Nobody's listening anymore anyway, but we're past 11. But, yeah, we're going to get this shit done. Me and Joe B, we're going to have a wacky show coming on very soon, randomly airing throughout the week. So stay tuned. See you guys in heck. It was a great fucking week in wrestling, and we'll see you guys next week.
Albert and Steph. Cut us out, Joe B.
Hey, Minister, I hope you start feeling better sooner than later.
Thank you.
Fuck you, Albert. Go fucking eat some Whataburger, you piece of shit. No, I'm just joking. That was kind of rude. No, actually, I need to, I was like, doing like, you know, it's like, I guess it's just only semi-annual now, like walk to go get some natural ice, 24s. When I was listening to all the commentary on women wrestlers, which, you know, you got to give these girls some credit, you know. Of course it's going to be corny because it's kind of like still newborn-ish, and it shouldn't be, you know, in this day and age, you know. The skits are still pretty corny, you know, and whatnot, but I'm going to study up on it so I can have something to say about it at the end of the show the next time I come guest visit. Hey, man,
sweet.
You know, y'all peace out. I'm going to drink some cheap-ass shitty beer, and, you know, maybe you should go grab some of those. Call that a what's it called? It's like Dine and Dash or whatever the hell that kind of crap is, you know, nowadays. And I think that could be the cure for COVID, actually. Ice beer, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, Joe B. And yeah, I'm fighting the fucking COVID right now. Hell, I just might break out a beer myself. But fuck it. Till next time, keep it real and keep it heal. But as always, keep it sexy. Peace out, motherfuckers. We'll see you next time. Fatal 4-Way Radio.
Presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.